Hi everyone, today we're reading John chapter 11, verses 45 through 56. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus therefore no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim. And there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him. So last week we talked about this really dramatic kind of saga, actually, about how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. This is probably, again, one of the most dramatic and amazing miracles of Jesus, because Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days, in the tomb for 4 days already, and Jesus raises him from the dead. Now, in other resurrection accounts, Jesus, you know, he does revive people. There's not like a ton of them, but, you know, he revives them after they have died already. So maybe you could say, like, in those accounts, well, maybe they weren't dead already or something, but this is 4 days in the tomb. And so with a miracle like this and news like spreading among people, like, what do you think, would we expect the reaction to be like? I think the reaction we would expect is like, whoa, this is God at work. This is amazing. Jesus, you're awesome. And we see some of that in this passage where in verse 45, it says many Jews believed in him. But then in verse 46, we see that some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And now, again, maybe we would expect, oh, religious leaders of this time to be like, whoa, this is awesome. This is great. God is at work. But what's their reaction? What do we see in this passage? It says their answer to this is, "What are we to do?" In verse 47, "What are we to do?" And what we see here is that they're like, this man's performing many signs, and like, what they're saying here is they're worried that if he keeps on doing this, everyone will believe in him and the Romans will come and take away both their place and their nation. Why this reaction? This is fear. This is fear of losing their place as a people for like all of Israel, but also this is fear from these Pharisees and religious leaders of losing their place in the midst of this. Now, again, Israel at this time was under Roman rule, right? Roman subjugation. And with that, they as a nation had to be very careful to not rock the boat too much. There had been history of that already. So they were kind of on the precipice already. They're kind of in danger of that. So they were in fear that Jesus, with Jesus doing these miracles, the people would latch onto him as a hero. And then insurrection or revolt against Rome would happen, and then all of Rome's armies would come and wipe them out as a people and a nation. So this is the fear that they had. Caiaphas, then, he is the high priest. There's only one high priest, right? Although he's, you know, in the temple, that's his main role. You know, he's a really important person. The one high priest of Israel, he stands up here and he says, "You guys know nothing at all." Fun thing to say, by the way, but you guys know nothing at all. And he says, "You don't understand that it's, you know, it's better for one man to die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish." Now, in the Gospel of John, this is some great double meaning kind of stuff here, right? This happens throughout the book. John even tells us here that this is prophetic. But what Caiaphas meant in this moment is that he's basically saying, "Hey guys, this is good. This is better, actually. It's not a big deal. Jesus will come, and it's going to look like some insurrection or whatever. But what we're just going to do is we're just going to blame him. We're going to put this whole thing on him, and he will die for the sake of our nation, and everything will be okay. But what's interesting here is that John tells us that in verse 51 that Caiaphas did not say this of his own accord, but that it says that year he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. Caiaphas unknowingly is speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaking words from God. And he's prophesying that Jesus would die, but not just for the nation, not just for Israel, but he would die for the children of God. Jesus would die for his people, for their sins, and gather them to God. Now, the rest of the passage, we see that this changes how Jesus ministers. He doesn't walk openly among the Jews anymore. And it says in verse 53 that from that day on, after this meeting they had, they made plans to put him to death. And so this is beginning, like this is the beginning of the end, in a sense, as we go into like Passion Week for Jesus. Now, what I want to focus on here is what's the problem? What's the deal here with these Pharisees? Now, we've said it before, that they're spiritually blind. Like Jesus just, again, he just raised a man from the dead, a man who was in the tomb for 4 days. And they don't say, praise God. They don't say, wow, what a miracle. They say, what do we do about this? And their concern was about their survival, maintaining the status quo, maintaining their own power and place within this nation even. Now, when we read this kind of stuff, we can make parallels to like the church today, it's a different kind of leadership today. But I think what we should always do with this stuff is first start with ourselves. This miracle of Jesus was amazing, but it was disruptive for these Pharisees and religious leaders. And even for us, like the miracles and the good things of Jesus can disrupt our lives. We could be like doing all these things, whether ministry things or work things, life things, and Jesus comes in and it's great and it's awesome, but it's kind of disruptive. It can be like, oh, I was going to try to go towards this kind of career, but then now that I met Jesus, I don't really feel like I should be going that way, but what will my parents think? And it's like disruptive, right? And it's very easy for us to be kind of like these Pharisees and said, you know what? I just got to maintain the status quo here. I have to maintain my place with my parents, with my friends, with my workplace or whatever. And I think the key part here for us is that we need to be careful. We need to be careful to pay attention, to praise God, to look around and make sure that we see what Jesus is doing and not be so concerned with what we are doing and maintaining our lives, the status quo for ourselves. So as we close out, let's pray for our hearts. Let's pray that we'll trust in Jesus, that we'll cling to him, and that we will be reminded again and again of just his goodness and how great he is. And let's pray that we don't get in the way. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who came to us, and you're the one who is disruptive in a very good way. You came so that we can have life and have it to the full. And I pray that as you've come for that, to give us that kind of life, that we will lay down the lives that we want to live for ourselves, but instead that we will cling to you and find life eternal, abundant in you, Jesus. Bless us, Lord. We thank you for this love you've shown us. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.